We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
My name is Paul. I'm the co-founder of We Talk Podcasts, and among ourselves is We Talk Comics. And in our time doing the show over the last 5 years, we've had a chance to interact with a lot of the most talented creators. First of all, thank you all for coming out and being here, supporting the local people. I think a lot of the people that work within the industry here are surprised just how many other creators there are. We're only starting to really see what kind of creativity is in the city. We're starting to see, become bigger names, more famous names, and a lot of people. I'm sure everybody knows like Roger Boschman, Peter Constantine, Fiona Staples, of course, one of the top selling books in the world. Other people, independent creators, Jason Miller, Fight Comics. You have a lot of creativity in the city. There's about 80 people right here in the city by our count, making comic books. As far as we can tell, the most vibrant city in Western Canada, at least, for comic book creativity. So we're very, very proud of that. And what we're trying to do is be everybody together and help them really promote with each other, engage with each other, create a place where you guys can get to know the creators. And that's the moon at panel1.ca, all over the world. Go on there. That's fine. Brett said it was on. I didn't touch a thing. Point being, if you go on panel1.ca.
No, it's just going to
be fine. Can we get him some retraining?
Get over to panel1.ca. That's where we're going to create a profile. News on their upcoming work. We have interviews that they're doing. And if you want to create comic books in the city, we want you to become a member. It's free. It's all about giving back to the community, letting you guys and potential creators be the best you can be in the city. Because what you see in front of you here is some of the people, just some of them. And you can be extremely proud of how they represent this city and this country even. The people up here represent the best of us. And we're really, really happy they're up here. So let's have a great panel. We'll give it over to Brett now.
Wow.
I feel like we should do that.
We should have an answer to that.
I completely disagree with the best of us comment.
We've met you, so
we have a lot of amazing creators, and here are some of them.
I should turn the mics on.
Are you okay with that? Am I on?
No. I'm not on either. Okay.
Look for the red.
Yes, if there's a red button, please push it.
Yeah, they create comics.
All right.
I also don't work in tech, so.
Yeah, just introduce everybody, okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to give each of them a chance to talk about what they do and where you can find it and what's coming up next. Okay? And then we'll get into the questions, because I'm sure you know some.
I'm not going to let them introduce themselves. I liked it.
Okay.
I'm Keith. I'm the co-host of the We Talk Comics podcast and a writer for the website comicosity.com. And I'm happy to be here with to promote local talent. And we're just going to go to my right.
I'm Erin Miller. I write Where She Walks with my brother who does all the art, Nathan Miller. Oh, right, sorry.
Oh,
iPod, terrible.
My name is Stephen Charles Rosia. I'm a writer, illustrator, everything I can't afford to hire somebody else to do. And currently, I just launched my new book, Muskoka, and you can also find The Man Outside the Window at select comic book shops here in Calgary.
I am Scott Kowalczyk. I have drawn Batman 66. Mysterious Strangers, Downset Fight, Intrepids, and I'm not having a particularly good hair day, and I'm not keen about this whole being on camera.
I disagree about the hair.
That's fair, but I'm just putting that out, making sure.
I thought you were cosplaying Bobby Nelson in Daredevil.
Yes, I am. Yeah. And I am riding the crotch of the two tables clumped together here. So,
I think we should all just apologize to Aaron before we get rolling on this. I was just thinking about this from the last panel I sat in with some of you guys on.
Are you talking about riding the crotch?
No. Yes. Anyways, this will all be self-explanatory. So my name is Rick Overwater. I make kind of a weirdo space epic comic called Futility. Along with my partners, Cam Hayden and Nathan Miller, her brother, he's the colorist for our group. You can get our issues when we get off our butts and drive them down at most of the shops in Calgary, and we're also available online through overwater.ca and a comic convention coming near you.
Hi, I'm Justin Higgs, and I'm the writer of Wolf Hands. You can find it on wolfhandscomic.ca. And the second issue just came out for this expo.
My name is Nick Johnson. I'm the artist for Wolf Hands. You can find that at wolfhandscomic.ca. And then my own personal work at nickj.ca.
Okay, well, why don't we start down here with Nick and Justin?
All right.
Wolf Hands, of course, everybody loves it. But why don't we tell the audience just a little bit about Wolf Hands? And then what's the future for Wolf Hands? And what's the future for YouTube?
All right. Wolf Hands is a story of Vaughn Miller, a cell phone telephone salesman, who gets bitten by a dying werewolf, and as a result, he turns into a werewolf, but only in his hands. So scared as he may be, his wolfish hands keep dragging him into these uber-violent, terrifying situations. It's really zany, madcap action, all Justin's idea, but it really suits my art style, and it's really fun to draw, so, yeah.
And future-wise, like we said, the second issue just came out. The whole story will hopefully be 6, so we should get those out within the next decade.
Is there more afterwards?
After those 6?
Yeah. Well, not just Wolf Hands, but anything else coming?
Yeah, I should have 2 books out by September this year, hopefully. Death Metal Duck and The Zombie and the Ghost.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm not drawing any of those, am I?
Did you say Death Metal Duck?
I did say that.
Sold.
Sold. Cool. I've got some personal stuff that I'm going to be working on afterwards, like a larger graphic novel that I've been writing for a few years, and I really want to put some time into the design and creation of that world before I start the next full fantasy season. So that's pretty much my focus.
That's all. Oh, and of course, you did your hand. So, as an artist, that makes it difficult to draw, but tell us, Nick, how did you enter your account?
In the distance, I saw a plume of smoke. As I came around the corner, I saw the nunnery/orphanage/kitten supply store on fire. They were all trapped on the 19th floor, but I had a dodgeball game to get to, and I went there and broke my pinky.
That's better.
Is that all right? You're not
going to
hit me now?
No. That was
good. All right. Rick, tell us.
Okay. So I'm not the king of the short answer, but I'm really going to try.
You knew him.
So our story is, let's start with where we're coming from. I think this will just make more sense. I used to be in a band with our illustrator, Cam Hayden, and we discovered we like comics. We grew up on Mad Magazine, all the Marvel comics, of course. But then we're also into a lot of the really weird stuff. I don't know if any of you have read The Furry Trap, but go out and buy it, and don't let your mom or any other human being see it. And we also grew up on like heavy metal and weird science and stuff. So we have written a story, I'm the writer, about a farmer in 1969. He is in the Air Force along with Buzz Aldrin. You all know who Buzz Aldrin is, right? Buzz Aldrin was a Korean war pilot, did fairly well, was one of the last guys that just made the cut barely to get into NASA and went to the moon. The other guy who almost made the cut is our hero, Red Hayes, who ended up marrying Buzz's ex-girlfriend. He has jealousy issues, he has all sorts of issues. He makes a homemade rocket out of a grain bin and tries to beat them to the moon, where he's going to grow crops with his specialty device he's invented and turn the moon into cropland and be famous. He gets lost in space. And after that, it's just a lot of gore and mucus-filled, weird space episodes, and it's an ongoing adventure. We have 3 issues out. The 3rd one just came out. Number 4 will be out this fall. And so that's the future. And then now we've kind of introduced ourselves to the world, and some victims are actually coming back to buy the next issues, which is a good sign. We're probably going to move into just doing one big thick book a year, so you can come to a convention and buy it and get a year's worth of story out of us and not have to look at us again. And then on top of that, Cam's also got some of his own stories at our booth for sale. What's the youngest kid in here? His newest book is called Shitty Stories. It's pretty funny. And I'm also an author as well, and so we're kind of slowing down a bit this year while I work on a steampunk novella that's coming out in the fall as well. So
you're a busy guy.
I am a busy guy.
That's important.
I have a job, too, that is none of those things.
All right. Scott Kowalczyk.
Basilus.
No.
It's too late.
All right. I'm Scott Kowalczyk. I draw Batman 66.
We look a lot alike.
Yeah, I know, it's so true.
Yeah, it's totally there.
All right, you can talk.
I actually just, it's fascinating. Not fascinating at all, actually.
Is it fascinating?
No, it's really not.
Sorry, you judge something you're about to say as fascinating yourself.
I like to self-judge everything that I say is relatively important. So fascinating kind of works in this. I actually just walked away from the book that I've been working on for the last year. It was the one that I was going to be doing all my big push for the next couple of months.
Interesting.
And I walked away over creative differences, which is a thing. Every time I read a director walking off a movie over creative differences, I think, bullshit. There's no creative differences. It's money. No, it actually happens. You can't actually walk away from a book over creative differences. So I am chilling for a couple of weeks, and then working up a project with Ryan Ferrier, the beautiful Ryan Ferrier of Dave fame, Curb Stomp. Go visit his booth. I don't know what number it is, but he has a beautiful, beautiful head of hair, which I'm jealous of.
And fine tattoos.
Who cares? He has beautiful hair.
6 or something like that.
He's, sure, okay. You can find him. Just look for a guy with beautiful hair. And I'm working on more Batman 66, probably in July.
Well, the great thing about Ryan Ferrier, too, is he's right beside another local product, L.A. Jeans.
Is he? I don't know.
And they're right beside
Big Ultra.
Who's from that? But, you know, we will not use them.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's a talented guy. All right, Stephen. Joe, you're good.
Yeah. Oh, we'll figure this out. So my most recent comic that just came out is called Muskoka. It's a horror comic that follows a young woman through the forest to study a recently discovered tribe of people, indigenous people. Now, the people are odd and rather off-putting, and the questions that she raises are quite often unanswerable or lead her into really dark and twisted parts of the forest. I like to write horror stories in the non-Hollywood style, so that is cutting out the gore, the sexuality, all that stuff that's kind of extra and is pretty, and I enjoy very much on the screen, but I prefer to create a far more thoughtful piece. And that's kind of what I've strived for in the last couple pieces that I've done, the last of which, before Muskoka, being The Man Outside the Window, which is a similar sort of execution. I take myself a little bit more seriously than the rest of you guys, I guess.
Your downfalls.
Oh,
we take you seriously.
I'm stuck on the words gory sexuality. I don't know, that just the combination of those don't work for me.
It's a thing. Yeah. Gory sexuality, it's a thing.
Don't like
read futility.
No.
I find it fascinating.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron Miller.
Hi. Oh, I get you. Thank you.
You're the one.
So Where She Walks is in a nutshell, the story of a goddess who doesn't know she's a goddess being called to save a world she doesn't know she created. It's really cool working with my brother. I write it, and he does everything else. He does all of the art, the design of the book, the lettering, everything. He's pretty fantastic. We have a prologue out and chapter one. We were aiming to have chapter two out now, but our website got hacked and someone went in and deleted everything. So we decided that because part of our mandate is to have mandate, because we have a mandate, part of our plan is to have the comic free to read at all times online. So we decided to really sink the time and money into the website and getting it redesigned so we could relaunch it and hopefully lock it down a little bit. So yeah, the new website is up. It's whereshewalks.ca. And what's next is just more ongoing story.
Well, that kind of leads me to a question. We'll do this in snake format, so I'll ask the question and we'll start back with Aaron to answer it. So a lot, and you're doing tabling and shows here out of Edmonton, some of you Lethbridge, some of you a little further afield. How do you use the internet, though, to go further? Are your comics available digitally? How are you using it to promote yourself outside of the shaking hands and shows?
Ours, we have the comic on the website at all times. We were attempting at one point to sort of do a regular sort of weekly update, but we've recently, it's not a web comic, and it's not, we don't want to pretend that it is. So we're, thank you. We're going to put it up as it's done, and we actually get quite a bit of traffic on the website, which is nice. And so we try and stay on social media, mostly Twitter, and just let people know that it's out there.
Stephen, you did a Kickstarter, which is a whole other kettle of wax. Sleep today.
Yeah,
so you went through the internet to fund your latest book. So was that kind of your first foray into working with people over the internet to connect with material?
More or less, yes. Kickstarter is a fantastic format. I'm certain that most of you guys are fairly familiar with it. Kickstarter is just this amazing crowdfunding platform. My last comic, I funded the printing of it through Kickstarter, and it wasn't my intention to do so, not originally, but as a comic creator and a man of very meager means, I definitely didn't have the means to produce such a book.
Sorry, I laughed.
Oh, it's okay. It's true. Kickstarter worked out very well for me, and I just kind of went into it blindly. I've contributed to a lot of Kickstarters. I used to be far wealthier than I am now when I worked up north in the oil patch. And in that time, I contributed to over 68 Kickstarters. So I had a fairly good idea of what it was and kind of how you do it. But actually executing it was a whole other kettle of wax.
What in God's name is a kettle of wax?
I have it's a ball of wax.
Well, okay, but a kettle is what you put tea in.
We know that.
Is there a different use of the word kettle that I'm not aware of?
I thought it was food at the Stampede. It was right beside the deep fried butter booth this summer. I thought, but.
I like at this point I'm accusing Brett of something here. I don't know why it's so. I'm sorry.
Scott, so I mean, you've just started working digitally now after.
You cannot see his eyes. They are intense as. Anyway.
But so working differently in Batman 66 and having to do all the different things that kind of technology allows, that was different for you.
Yes.
Okay. That's the difference?
Overdirect. Yeah. That's my only answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, digital's cool. I talked about this the other day with somebody or at something, and I dig digital comics. I feel like there's sort of a, not an exodus necessarily, but there's a new platform of storytelling within digital that we can't do with print. Print's finite.
right? Like the actual printed page, you can only tell. You can tell a story the same way that guys in the 30s were telling stories. And my work on Batman was really fascinating. Boy, fascinating again. I'm really on that word. Kettle wax. So Batman introduced something that DC terms digital first, which is the inclusion of sort of single panel animations within within the comic book. And I found it really interesting, an interesting exercise in storytelling, in that I could include something like pacing or timing, or include gags as the reader swiped a gag or a panel in. It actually changed the process of the experience of reading, which you can't do in print. So I don't know. I feel like there's sort of a new frontier with digital that we haven't fully explored or understand yet, which, I don't know, for me is kind of as a quote-unquote storyteller, which is what I at least tell most of my family, it's fun. It's fun to see that there's something new coming.
Great. Tell us about utility and the digitality.
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, I whipped up a short list of adjectives for you here in case you get stuck again. I think fascinating is fine, but I hate to see a brother struggle, so yeah. I just whipped up a few there for you. So...
These are mostly sex positions that Rick is, and I don't know where to take.
It's actually a picture of us making out with my phone number, but anyway.
It's Rick and I scissoring on the, it's yeah. the weirdest
can I see
thing.
That? Can I see that?
Yeah. We'll sign it for you. Okay, so anyways, I got a day job. I work in marketing and communications, but you would not know this from my comic, because when I get home, I letter my comic digitally, and I write on a computer. So anything I can do to stay off of a computer, I do. And I've been really lax. We've been really focusing on the promotion of the print side of our comic, getting into local shops, that kind of thing. We have a Twitter up and going. We have a Facebook page up and going. But I, frankly, have squandered the opportunities. Don't do this, because some of you are probably thinking about making a comic. I've just kind of run out of time. I've got a day job and kids. Get the digital pages for your comic that are done, because they're digital, and then they go to print. You put those into a PDF book in Comixology, you know, you can get it to sell online. They do a lot of sales. There's a whole bunch of opportunities for digital sales and that sort of thing online that I have not taken advantage of. You know, I've been working on it a year, and I have yet to put it on Comixology. At some point, I want to start a media campaign. Facebook is great for advertising. I haven't done that. So when you talk about us in digital, I'm kind of old school. I like paper. I will always prefer a paper comic, and I've just had to decide what was more important to me. And one thing I learned from being in a band and having a day job is, after a while, if you're really starting to have some success, and we're experiencing a little success with the comic, within a year we usually see most of our money back from what we've put into it. And that's only because we're also going out of town and, you know, racking up hotel bills and going to the bar with artists afterwards and that sort of thing. It's done all right. I just decided something has to fall. So I can do market communications all day, like I, you know, my day job, and go do more at night, or I can go and just, if I got X amount of time, I focus on what inspires me, and that's just making the art, like writing the stories, lettering, and working with the artists. And I promote and use the internet as much as I can, but I've just decided something I had to give, and I didn't want to do a little bit of creativity and express myself a little bit and spend more time promoting. So I have failed from an internet standpoint, and that's one of the things that we're hoping to fix this year. You really should take advantage of, like, Comixology and all the things these guys are talking about if you're going to make a comic in this day and age. But step one is you do have to get the comic done. So
that's good.
Yeah.
So, Justin.
Hello. Oh, yeah. No. Well, Wolfhands was initially designed to be a webcomic, I guess. We kind of break it up into chapters. We think of it as kind of like a TV series. We got 13 episodes makes that season. And then there's space in between, so it's not like every week there's a new page. So it's not like a webcomic traditionally. But, I mean, I think the focus has kind of become the print version of it. Just because it seems like when we go to like shows like this, a lot of people are waiting for the print version to come out, or don't even know that there is a webcomic version of it. So I don't know, it started as kind of a more digital focus, and I think it kind of became more of a print focus.
Yeah, I think for me the end goal is always the print, and I don't usually do web comics because like reading them on a computer is never my preferred method. And same thing for Rick, like I'm on a computer 8 hours a day. I don't want to go home and sit in front of another one, like to read leisurely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an iPad, so I always kind of thought about like I wasn't even sure if people were reading it online, but at least once a week somebody looks at their Twitter or they look at the blog or whatever, and they're like, oh, it's like Nick and Justin posted another page. Like for every week for 13 weeks, you see that, and it keeps it in the person's brain, right? Mm. So it's kind of like 13 weeks of promotion building up to the release of the print book, or it's 13 weeks of annoying the hell out of people. Whatever it is, you're in the brain at some point. So. I mean, we have like 10,000 hits since we started, and that's not all me refreshing the page.
Awesome. It's a great comic. I found one or two pages as a tease, and I actually stopped because it's like, I knew it was coming out. I was like, I want to sit down and read the damn thing. And it's like, yeah, you just get it on. All right, well, fans. Ah, I'm done for the week.
The blue ball method can be rather painful.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
All right, well, I'm going to put him on the spot, but we've been joined by Chris Peterson, who's another one of ours. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to get you to tell everybody in the audience what you're working on and what's coming up. My Grindhouse issues from Dark Horse Comics came out last month and this month. It's a two-part story called Blood Lagoon. So the final part comes out next week, and then starts next week after that, starts mainly for 5 months, four issues. And then after that comes Broken World from Boom Studios in June. There you go. Chris Peters, talented artist. Thanks for coming. Anyways, I'm going to open it up. Do we have any questions from the audience or any of these awesome people? The answer is no. That's disappointing. Anybody? All right.
We have a question. Yeah.
Sweet. All right. I knew it was different.
I wanted to know if you're wanting to start out and you don't really have the best art skills and you can't really, you don't have any friends or family that you are, what's your suggestion for like fine art?
I want you to come out and
that's exactly how I started out.
That makes me. School.
Yeah.
School, like Nick and I both went to ACAD, and I for a long time just sort of toiled with trying to learn it all on my own, which some guys can do, and gals, and do it very well. But the actual school environment really was a nice focus for developing the general drawing, I guess, skills and that you need, you know, anatomy, storytelling, perspective, just all of those basics. Plus, it's social. Sorry.
So the work ethic as well.
Yeah,
you're gonna need that.
Yeah, you're really gonna need the work.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What part of making a comic interests you most? The coming up with the idea and the story, or the sitting down and drawing it, or is it kind of all of the above?
I guess all of the above. I have gone and I've read books on writing, and that's more where you want to focus. But at the same time, I do like animation. I do like drawing. And
so you draw, you sit down and actually draw for your own.
I haven't done it in a long time, like I kind of would doodle and stuff. Like I would doodle back when I was younger, and I would always be drawing and always reading comics and watch cartoons and whatnot. And that's still what I like to do. I like to do it. I really love animation and not just Disney, like I like everything.
Okay.
But I stopped doing that a long time ago, but like, yeah, I keep drawing, so it's... It's like really, really rusty to the point where I don't have all perspective and all that. So
you might be okay. The reason I ask is there's a few ways you can hit it. One is like some of these guys here can actually sit and write and draw a really good story. In my case, I'm a writer. But like a lot of you probably, I made my own comics in high school and drew, and then one day I realized I'm not really an artist, and I became a writer for trade and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of look for an artist to collaborate with. But I use my primitive drawing skills to, I take an 11 by 17 sheet, and I take 12 of those and fold them over, so I get a 24-page comic. in a, no wait, how many is it? If I was good at math, I would not be a writer. I'd actually be doing something that made money. But anyways, and I thumbnail it out using what primitive drawing I can. So you can like roughly sketch it out, find an artist, and one way is to come to these and hang out with these people and buy them some beers and buy Nick some whiskey sours, old fashioned, I stand corrected, and you'll meet somebody that's into collaborating with you a little bit. And you can also save up some money to hire a guy for a few pages too. Or if you really are into the drawing thing, because you're going to have to take your drawing to a certain level, you can either work on that craft and do like he says, school never hurts. Learning to become a good writer and a good artist at the same time is a good commitment. So if you think you're leaning one way or another, kind of pick it and get those skills good enough that, like Stephen was saying, learn a few things that you don't have to pay money for and get those good so that you can concentrate on just finding the other stuff. If you're one of those guys that kind of wants to write and draw it, then, you know, hone your skills. And if you can take some school or some courses, there's 3D courses or 5D courses. You can take how many years as an ACAT?
Four years.
You go to ACAT 4 years, in which case you'll be highly employable and very good when you're done. There's a few ways you can do it. But if you're thinking you kind of love one more than another, I'd say probably focus on that and meet like-minded people who can collaborate with you. And Calgary, when I was in indie bands, Calgary, a lot of musicians always described Calgary's music scene as incestuous. Everyone was always in different bands, and then these five people from like different bands would suddenly have a band together. And the art scene's kind of like that too. The more people know each other, the more they seem to collaborate. So I don't know if that's any kind of answer at all, but that's what I got.
Panel One would help as well. Panel1.ca.
Yes.
There's a growing list of creator profiles on there, just to open up the industry, make it more accessible. So it would be a good way to connect with an artist.
Tell us what Panel One is.
Well, it's a group of creators. it's a new, still relatively new. We've been working on it for a couple months, but basically we're trying to gather local creators, whether they're artists or we have publishers, we have writers. Everyone who wants one has a creator profile that kind of puts everybody under one umbrella, so they're easy to find, right? So that would be a good resource for you.
Is it panel like number one or panel ring out one?
ONE.ca, yeah.
So one thing, like, I'll ask you, like, what is the benefit then of community? Because we know that Calgary has a lot of great artists and writers and stuff like that. So what is the benefit of that to you guys?
I'll tell you right now, I have no clue what I'm doing here, but I'm sitting on a panel with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other guys who do or are pretending a little better than I am.
There's a girl. There's right? a girl.
Oh, there we go. There's a girl among us.
Okay.
That's awesome.
The benefit of community, I'm surrounded by amazing individuals who can tell me exactly where I'm going wrong. I was at the comic book shop for a launch the other day, and for the first time in a long time, I had somebody come in and say, "This is bad," or "Don't do this," you know. And that's something that you don't get from family or friends, because everybody is so eager to tell you what you're doing well. Whereas being in a community of artists especially, we're all very critical of our own stuff, and we have strong opinions on what we like and what we don't. Or at least I've found that amongst myself and the people I've chosen to surround myself with. That's my benefit anyways. That's what I'm finding so far.
Yeah, it's nice not to go it alone. And the criticism thing is important. You will need criticism, and you'll need to be able to take it, which is a whole thing you've got to learn, because it's not the funnest thing in the world. I just handed my comic to Richard Starkings, the Black Panda, to give me some lettering tips. And he brutalized it, man. But at the same time, it's like, that's gold. So you need that. But it's nice not to go alone. And whatever problem you're having, somebody has already experienced that problem or experienced that roadblock. And more often than not, found a workaround. So it's good to have community, you know, and to know you're not going alone. And, you know, have people help you out in a pinch, too. So
you think about how solitary the work can be sometimes, like staying up late under the light, drawing comics, and it's really lonely. But just being able to out and hang out and have drinks with people and chat about what you've been making, that to me is always the icing on the cake to the whole experience. Like, I love holding a finished comic book that I made, but being able to go and chat with you guys over a few beers, like, we just started doing that with Panel One,
yeah.
And that is super fun, and I really enjoy doing that.
You spend a lot of time with your laptop alone if you're making a comic or your big 11 by 17 sheet or whatever. Yeah, well, I'm setting you guys up, but you don't actually have to go for it, you know, just because I'm pitching them.
Nick's talking about cat videos.
Cat videos. Yeah.
So, what is it about Calgary that seems to be breeding this kind of community, though? I mean, we're seeing more stuff being created here than we see, you know, even in some of the bigger centers in the U.S. Why are so many people taking this chance, throwing their money at funny books and taking their shot?
There's a lot of people under 35 in Calgary compared to most cities. Like, a lot of people. That helps. A ton of people. And I also think it's... You got the gut, if you're into the urban thing and that's in your art, it's got the gritty city aspects. But I also think there's something about all the greenery and fresh air and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that Calgary's a rare city in that you can live like an almost rural outdoorsy lifestyle and live a totally like, you know, city, inner city lifestyle all in the same week. And I think that does something for the way you make art. And that's my theory.
Nature.
Do you have any more questions for the others? Excellent. All right.
Hey.
I'll go to you first because you put your hand up first. For everybody on the panel, what freedoms did the medium of comics allow you that drew you in as compared to other forms of art?
It's a one-man show. You can do it all yourself. As opposed to if you're making a movie, it's very difficult to do, you know, the sound, to do the editing, to be every single actor in your own show. Like, you can. I encourage you to do so, but that would be a very interesting movie. Whereas a comic book, you can sit down and you can be the writer, you can be the artist, you can be the letterer, and then I suppose you could be your own customer if you wanted to.
I hear it's not recommended, though.
You won't make a lot.
No.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier today with somebody about the joy of a comic as opposed to some other medium. And the words I was using at the time were, like, it's the purest vision of an idea that you can have because there's less hands involved in it. There's less taint from outside.
It's untainted from the other side.
Calgary Expo after dark.
This is all before we go for drinks tonight.
There's too many cakes.
I mean, that's for better or worse, right? Like, sometimes outside sources do make an idea better. But if you truly just have an idea and you want it to come out as pure as possible, comics are the best way to do it, in my mind.
You can do a lot for, you know, not a lot of money, like a couple grand, which seems like a lot of money, but I got friends that make movies, right? So my new comic, there's a creature called the Living Land, where all the land, all the animals come together and form one creature the size of a giant skyscraper that terrorizes the land, right? That's like some next level CGI if you want to make a movie. You know, nobody's going to be able to do that on any budget. My artist came up with, you know, sat down and did it on his living room table. You know, you're not, there are very little constraints. If you're a writer and the artist half sees what you're seeing, and half the time your artist is going to see something even better based on your idea than what you came up with, there's like nothing you can't do. You just don't have these budgetary constraints that you have, say with movie making and stuff like that. Anything your artist can imagine, you can do. And that's one of the best things about comics.
Alright, I'll have another question here. I'll go this way.
Alright, so I'm a junior high school teacher. I teach language arts here in the city. And I often use graphic novels and comics as a bit of a gateway drug into reading writing. I love it. I also see that as an end of itself, too, because I love the stuff. Now, this is kind of a two-part question. If you were to go back to junior high and tell junior high self about comics and what you do to kind of get to where you're at right now, just say. And then maybe the second one would be, how would you say to junior high self, you know, to encourage you to basically be creative and artistic and so forth, and what you maybe have to say to parents, teachers, or have you?
Those are really good questions.
I kicked my own ass.
Yeah.
I think I'd say that it's attainable. Like, up until like 6 years ago, as a writer, I didn't know how to even find an artist that wanted to would want to draw any of my ideas, assuming that if I'm offering little to no money, they'd be doing their own ideas, right? But I've done like 5 or 6 short stories and just found artists on DeviantArt from all over the world with different styles and stuff like that. It's been fantastic, and I guess junior high me wouldn't have had that opportunity, but people now definitely do. Like, it's certainly the easiest it's ever been to do your own stuff.
Well, junior high, like, I guess we're kind of all in our 30s-ish, not you.
Yeah, 30.
But in junior high for me, which didn't exist in Saskatchewan, it was called something else.
School?
Yeah, it was the class that was held back. Comics didn't have the reverence that they do now. Like, they weren't held in the esteem that we kind of hold them in as an art form now. And I was kind of held myself back from wanting to be vocal about saying, like, dude, I did comic books. I don't know why I did, but they always really spoke to me. Like, I would read, I was reading Batman and Nightfall at the time, and I never thought as a kid growing up in Saskatoon that I would ever do that professionally. And then, I don't know, I think I hit a point in my 20s where I was just like, yeah, I like comic books, whatever, screw it. It would be nice to, not necessarily nice, to go back and discover that sort of confidence in what I was interested in earlier.
Yeah.
But the fact that kids in junior high kind of are by nature lack that bit of self-confidence, right? But it would be nice to find that, to find a way to culturally integrate that within them, to just follow whatever they're into. Because whatever they're into is whatever they're into. And you can make a career out of it.
That's kind of part of my answer, too. I'm a
Great,
farm kid.
You take it, Rick.
I'm a farm... Well, are you done? I'm a farm kid, like Scott. And so when I wanted to be a writer in junior high and all that, it was most adults' idea, the stupidest idea ever. It was the stupidest possible thing I could pick for career, and I got no support. I love my parents, but I was drawing comic book after comic book after comic book. My aunts and uncles were stealing them, and not for once did they ever... Like, these are great. But
what
not once
your,
did they actually...
What is your family like?
Yeah.
Like, a family stealing from a
child?
Well,
they all have knives for fingers. And no, but they would take them. No, these are great. But not one of... My parents never once actually said, look what our kid is doing, what he's obsessed with. How can we teach him to monetize that, right? So, but what I would do differently is, A, I would just not let my self-confidence be rattled. And it took me years after I got to college to actually, you know, like Justin said, to realize... Maybe I can do this. I would have come out the gate when I was younger and I didn't have all the responsibilities I had. And then I also wouldn't have quit drawing. There was a point when I was about 15, if I'd have stuck with it, I probably could have come out and gone into school. It's one of my big regrets, and actually learned to illustrate professionally. I let it draw, and now I can barely draw a stick man anymore. Once in a while, I'll watch camera. If some of these guys draw it, I drink and draw it. I'll do a little doodle in the corner, and then I'll like fold it over. Kind of where no one can see it. But I would not quit drawing, and I would be more confident about trying to be a writer and just start doing it earlier. If you want to make something, start making it. Except that the first stuff's going to suck. It just is. You know, I mean, maybe you're one of these special guys that won't, but just start making it. And I didn't have that confidence. I would tell myself that. Just keep doing what you're doing.
And if I could build on that, just tweak that. Just
yes, you can. It's only fair.
I'm going to tweak it so much. Don't perceive the stuff that you initially do as like sucking. It's learning, and that's sort of the key. Like, you're going to make mistakes, but they're not really mistakes because they're those first steps in learning how to walk. So it's okay. It's okay that it's not perfect. My first book, not perfect, but c'est la vie.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time here. So one thing that I will say is that if you are interested in hearing more from this talented group of individuals, they've all been on our We Talk Comics summits, which are available on our website, wetalkpodcasts.com. So check those out, because there's a ton of information on there. These guys are all great. Let's see, Aaron Miller, Where She Walks.
Stephen Charles Rosia, you've got Muskoka. Scott Kowalczyk, you've got Time Off.
You've got Futility.
I brought some with me.
Justin Higgs, Nick Johnson, Wolf Hands, and Broken Hand.
I'm going to say one last thing before you go on the call. Some of these folks are tabling this weekend and have their comics at their table. Where She Walks is over in the Big Four. Make sure you make it over there and get that book. And I also, in the audience, is Chris from Alpha Comics. And almost all of these books are available at his store. He's a huge supporter of local comics. All of them?
Everyone.
That's what I like here. He's a huge supporter of local comics. And make sure to check out his store and get these comics there.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for coming. We totally appreciate it. Thank these people.